From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Welcome to Trapping Radio, episode, I'm not sure what number we are on, 500-something, I believe. But if you are streaming this, you are probably noticing that we are putting up some older seasons, so I hope you're enjoying those, and I think I have them set to go up on Mondays. So I know I enjoyed going back as I was uploading them and listening to them again. I listened to so many before, so I hope you guys are enjoying that as well. And I also want to give a huge shout out to Drew. He sent us episodes. I haven't looked at the flash drive, but he said they were episodes like 4 through 100. So
they were the missing ones that we didn't have.
Yes, because I don't know what happened in Clint's history, but they started on this new 2.0 on like 100. So anyway, thank you, Drew. We appreciate it. As soon as I get around, I'll be mailing you a thank you gift. So
yeah. And if anybody out there had downloaded episodes 1 through 5, you can get a thank you gift.
Yes, too. Absolutely. Yes. So
let us know if you have episodes downloaded 1 through 5. You don't know, maybe on an old flash drive or
on your old computer
or something.
Yeah. So, well, we are back at the shop. So our adventures are just, our trapping season is over.
Yep.
So that's kind of what we thought we'd talk about tonight. Just, you know, season is over, kind of now what? You know, how to store your bait and lure, what are you doing with your traps, what are you doing with your fur, your glands, your essence, kind of reflecting back on your season, how it was, good or bad, and what could you do differently, or what did you learn, and then we'll just kind of talk about our season, and I don't know, we're back in the office, so we're here to chat for a little while.
Basically, we're in the She Traps headquarters.
Yes, and so if you hear me,
right now she's sewing a muskrat pillow.
Yes, and I've been working on it for quite some time, but it's turning out good. I'm on the final stretch, so that's what I'm working on as we're talking, as a little sewing project.
And, where if I was doing it, I could either talk or sew. Sarah says I can't work and talk.
You can't walk and talk at the same time.
I gotta do one or the other. And that I didn't believe that, but watching it, she was totally right.
Absolutely, I was.
That comes with experience, though. That you don't
work. And observation. Yeah, if you are distracted.
Yeah, that's true. Experience tells you that that's a good time to take a break is when you start talking.
Yeah, that's why you're perpetually on break.
That's true.
Well, as you can tell, this is our daily banter back and forth. Let's get back to the show. Well, we're back. Chris is not.
No, Chris is not, unfortunately.
No. What'd he say? We're not mechanical, but he had a flat tire.
We had a flat tire in South Dakota. Well, we were up to North Dakota with Chris, you know, muskrat trapping. And then we left and Chris stayed. And he just pulled the stuff, everything, and was getting going to head home. He was there for I don't know, 3 weeks. And he said it was absolute nightmare. He had a flat tire in South Dakota. Crazy wind yesterday all across Iowa and Illinois.
Which was the tornadoes.
Which was all, you know, all the tornadoes, the F5s and everything else. I don't know if he didn't know it or what, but I don't think I'd have went through Iowa that day.
No.
He said he got blown all over the place. And then that afternoon, which had been yesterday, my rear tire was on fire. The brake caliper seized up, burning brake fluid everywhere. He got it towed to a Ford dealer was going to try and get it fixed on Monday if it can be fixed at all. So, and the truck had 180,000 miles on it. So,
poor Chris.
You know, yeah. So breaking down. You know, coming back from it was a tough trapping trip out North Dakota, especially for Chris. When we left, it was wind blowing all the time, but it got cold when we left, and everything started freezing up, and then he had to bust all the ice off the...
Yeah, he sent us pictures. Yeah. His floats were covered in ice.
Yeah, and everything was freezing, and the wind's blowing 90 miles an hour, and... so then to have that happen on your way back, which sounds a lot like when we were coming back from Texas. We went into Texas, I don't remember what town, and Albert went to go across. We went up north through Dallas and stuff, and Albert cut across. We were going to follow each other across Louisiana, and I was like, that's going to be like 3 hours further going that way. I'm not going that way. So... Albert cut across Louisiana, and he had about the same problems where he had one tire blow out and then another one either caught on fire or was about to catch on fire. In his wreck that he'd had down there, the axle got bent and he didn't know it. So I don't even know how he made it all the way through where he made it through without it blowing. But he went through like three tires and finally had to go to a place and get it fixed. And so... we wish we could have been there for both of them, but you know, you don't know when things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thankfully everybody's safe. That's the main thing.
Yep, that's for sure.
But we had a lot of fun out there to North Dakota with Chris and caught a ton of rats. I usually would come back from trapping, the first thing I do is I'll go out and start skinning the rats, and you know, they're always my favorite, and I was getting sick of skinning muskrats. That's how many we caught.
That is for sure.
Because at first when we were catching them, you know, we catch them and have a double or a triple or even four, you know, it's great. And then when you been there for a while, you start thinking, holy crap, now we got to every four I catch, I got a skin.
Uh-huh.
So it definitely was it changes your mindset as you go.
Yeah. And just the mental part of dealing with an out-of-state trip is just how do you handle all that fur and get it all properly stored, and it's mentally exhausting to make sure you've got everything skinned in time and the sun's not beating down on it. And if it's raining outside, to skin inside and keep fur dry. I mean, it's a lot. So I know we were exhausted and we weren't there half as long as Chris was.
And it's all of us are set like how it used to be. You know, in February in northern Michigan, it didn't used to be, you know, get 70 and 80 degrees. Now it's different. North Dakota, they didn't get 70, 80 degrees, you know, the 1st of April. So the thing is, we're all caught up in how it used to be. Like, you know, before we go to Texas, I buy a bunch of muskrat carcasses and they're all frozen in freezers. So I put them outside. We push some snow over the top of them. Well, while we're gone in February, I'm not expecting like a week or 10 days of 70 and 80 degree temperatures, you know, out in the, you know, Michigan countryside. So, you know, So it's the same way with putting up the fur. You know, we have all these carcasses there, and we're going to haul them back. Well, it starts getting 75 degrees for 3-4 days at a time in North Dakota. And like with the fur, you can't leave it out because the rats will turn green belly really quick, and then you'll get discounted. So, you know, things just, you know, if you can count on one constant, it's going to be change. And it's just something with, as trappers, you know, you're going to have to deal with it. You know, things are different, you know, now than what they were, you know, even 10, 15, 20 years ago. So
You mentioned the carcasses after we got back from Texas.
That was
after they had been sitting out.
That was a damn nightmare.
You know, everybody thinks, oh yeah, this is the life to be in the lure business and travel, and yeah, it's the life when the carcasses have been sitting out in 60 degrees for we don't really know how long. They're rotted. They're slimy. They're green, you know, it's automatic soul taker at that point, you know. It's
it needs 1 month short of 2 years.
Yeah,
to rot down.
It was bad.
And you run that through the grinder. I mean, it just
juices are going everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So now it was fun, and then the fun turned to not fun.
Yep.
But it's just like anything else. I mean, it's just, it's work, and, you know, a lot of people have stuff they have to deal with in their daily lives that, you know, they'd rather not do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And picking up bags of muskrats with the juices running out of them is Mike, well, I guess he would say cross to bear. So
I helped a little bit. Yep. I helped quite a bit, actually.
Yep. So
yeah,
like being on talking about the as far as lures or making the lures and rotting down the muskrats and all stuff like that, you know, we thought we'd kind of talk about, you know, now season's over, what you should, you know, how to store your baits and lures and all that. The thing is a joke, we, you know, like to say that, you know, you should just throw them all away.
That's right.
And then buy new.
Absolutely.
But don't do that. Hopefully nobody's walking out the door to do that right now. Because the baits and lures will be good for next year or the year after. You know, I mean, they're preserved and they're, you know, made to, you know, whether they're ours or somebody else's, they're made to, you know, withstand, you know, the test of time. If you take care of them the right way. Now, if you go and take your baits and put them out in the yard or in a hot shed, you know, they can melt down. Even though they've been preserved, they'll still change. It doesn't mean you couldn't catch some. I would go out and still try and use it. But the best way to do it is take some electrical tape and, you know, wrap around the lid where they screwed the lid and the jar screws together, whether it's glass or plastic, a bait or a lure, just to seal everything in there. And then if you have like a cool, dark place, then that would be the best place to store them. Maybe an old cooler in the garage, something like that. Just so that, you know, it doesn't get, you know, that super hot heat, you know, we get sometimes in the summertime for, you know, weeks on end, you know.
I mean, that and the swing of heat.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as you, put it in a cool, dark spot, you'll be fine. You know, if you just can do nothing else and you don't have any, coolest place to put it, the best bet would be, you know, like out in your shop or, you know, like if you have a fur shed, something like that. Just out of the, as much as you can keep it out of the heat, and definitely keep it out of, you know, the direct sunlight, like pounding the heat onto it. Especially like the lures. We used to use, you know, dark bottles, and that would kind of cut that, you know, the sun rays. But it's like now that, you know, everybody uses the clear ones, including us. So, you know, that rays will, you know, go right through that. It changes, you know, the stuff, and it pulls something out of it. You know, I don't know how all that works. I just know that it does. And, you know, so, you know, definitely the direct sunlight, especially on the clear bottle lures, you know. And some people that make lures and stuff will probably say, oh, that doesn't matter. The hell it don't. I've been doing this too long. It sure as hell does matter. So, you know, they apparently don't know, or they want you to buy another bottle. So, but like I say, if it does happen to get heated up, or you forgot a jar, I would go out and try it. You know, and you know, it still might work if you got some bait, even if it melted down. You know, if it's really melted down into a liquid, I just pour it in a hole, and then the positive thing is the fire ants can't eat it if you're in the south. So, and they're always really, really fun to deal with. So it's pretty simple to maintain the lures and the baits and all that from year to year. You know, just like I say, wrap them with electrical tape, store them in the coolest, darkest place you have, and, you know, they should be good to go, you know, for next year. You know, like with fox urine, if you have a freezer, you can, in the baits and stuff, you can put in the freezer. You know, if you have an old freezer, you know, but with fox urine, best bet is, with my urine, a lot of times when I use urine, I'll put glycerin in it, like a quarter to a third of glycerin in whatever container, and then shake it, you know, shake, and it'll, you know, bind together. And that'll help it hold up. But if you put it in the freezer, it generally won't freeze with that glycerin in there, but it'll keep it, you know, more fresh. And it'll also, if you don't put glycerin in and put it in there, a lot of times it'll freeze. But you just bring it out and thaw it, and it'll be fine. And also what you could do is when a lot of people I see, like on social media, they'll ask, is my urine has a ammonia smell to it. It's all going to have an ammonia smell because it builds up in there, and that's ammonia is in the urine. So what you do is just take the top off. If it bothers you, let it air out a little bit, and then put the cap back on. But the thing is when you squirt it out, the ammonia is going to burn off anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But, you know, trappers sometimes, and I certainly understand this, have to do stuff mentally for yourself, you know. So, you know, basically any of this stuff you're buying, if, you know, you take care of it, you know, you don't have to go out and buy some new at the beginning of the season next year. Not saying don't, but you don't. You know, the stuff you have will be good for use next year.
Sounds good.
Sounds pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Long as the lure dealer gets enough sodium benzoate in it that it don't blow up on them.
What is your saying that you always say?
That high hopes, low expectations.
No, you say we're putting stuff
we're putting stuff in glass bottles that God never intended to go in a glass bottle.
That's right. You know,
so it's a miracle every time one of them doesn't blow up.
That's for sure.
Because there's a hell of a lot of bacteria in some of that shit.
Yep.
But,
so we covered baits and lures.
Yep.
What about fur? You've been doing some fur stuff.
I've been, me and Sarah put up the cats. We caught with Elbert down to Texas. There's about 70 cats there. We got them all put up, and we got a guy that's really interested. He's talking our price. And so we're going to be moving them. But, you know, the thing is if you got fur, let's say, like, with the muskrats out to North Dakota. This season, rats at some of the sales went up to like 6, 650, 450 a lot of times, the averages. But right now, like after the fur harvester sale, what happened was, is they didn't sell them. They're old. From what I understand, they're old rats. You know, people, they want to buy, you know, fresh stuff and or stuff that looks fresh and, you know, not the, you know, the stuff that's been held over. And, you know, so they didn't move the, anything but the junk. So it makes it where, see, I believe that it's more where the fur buyers look, they're in business just like everybody else. And if they can buy something cheaper, they're going to buy it cheaper. I mean, that's what businesses do. They try to buy as cheap as they can, and they try to sell for the most that they can. And that's just, that's, you know, how it all works. And but I think that when the you have the first sale, and then it doesn't go good, their markets are supposedly affected, where the rats go down to, you know, from 450 to 250. Well, you know, the thing is when that happens, whether you think it's right or wrong or whatever, that's just how it works. And so the time to sell the rats was when that market was going up at 450 to 650, not when after the fur harvester sale screwed it all up and they're at, you know, talking 250. The rat market hasn't changed. These guys are all claiming that they got overseas markets. Well, I had an overseas market. And we signed contracts and stuff that said mine wasn't on rats, it was on coon. And it was, we had to have so many triples, so many doubles, so many singles, so many low twos, so many of this, so many of that. And it had to be, they buy this amount of coon, but the percentages of each grade had to be in there. And that was, I don't know, 97, something like that. And we got $17. It didn't matter if it was the little shit coon or a monster coon, the percentages had to be there, and we got $17 for every single one of them. And so that's the part I don't understand. If all these people that claim they have overseas markets, why the price changes? Because their price hasn't changed. Them people have committed to buy it at that price. They've been buying all season on that market. So unless they don't have overseas markets, because in the old days, everybody had overseas markets. And not that many people actually had overseas markets. So, but the thing is that isn't, now is not the time to sell muskrats. Like the North Dakota rats, they are going to be stored in these fish containers to try and make them so they don't freeze or burn and hold them through till next year. And when you hit that, see that hot, you know, part come back up, maybe it'll be from $2.50 to $3 or $3.50, but, you know, on a couple thousand rats, you know, 50 cents or a dollar is a hell of a lot of difference on, you know, the what they write the check for. So you
mentioned a fish container. A lot of people aren't going to know what that is, but it's an airtight container.
It's an airtight
container. And we just called them fish containers because that's what Chris called them. But, It's an airtight, kind of like a big Rubbermaid container is what it is.
Yeah, because anytime you're freezing anything, the air is your enemy on that, because where the air's hitting it, and then with the cold, it'll get like dry spots. And we talked to Ben down to Sleepy Creek, because we'll be talking about the coon that we, you know, had in the freezer. But Ben said that, I always thought where if you, you know, scraped and dried a coon and it had the, you know, where it freezer burnt, that spots the hairs would fall out when you had them dressed, you know, or tanned or whatever, however you want to call them. But we talked to Ben down there and he said that anything can happen, but usually that they're fine. So, you know, that's one thing to think about is, you know, if you get something that's freezer burnt, you might want to, you know, get it tanned and, you know, try and move it that way. You know, because like I said, I was wrong all them years. I mean, I threw stuff in the dumpster because trying to hold it, and I'd, you know, have 500 rats or 400 rats in a freezer and, you know, have some get freezer burnt, you know, on the top where, you know, they weren't rolled up good enough, and, you know, just throw them in the dumpster. Or, you know, if you had a red fox, they're hard to keep, you know. So, you know, it's something, you know, that I learned this year. And so the thing is you don't want to, you know, try and move your fur when the market isn't there. The coon market seems to be coming up a little bit, you know, and it has been all season long. Last October, you know, me and Sarah are trapping coon, and people are saying, I'm putting up pictures of trapping coon or videos or whatever. And people are saying, why are you trapping raccoons? They're worthless. You know, I don't understand, because people keep writing us checks, don't they, Sarah? So, mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, normally we have sales on stuff, you know, that the people are buying it off of us and maybe a couple other people stuff. But this year we're just selling the regular fur buyers, you know, that are in, you know, in business. You know, we sold a bunch of Iowa raccoons. We sold some Michigan raccoons. We sold Iowa raccoons twice. You know, going to be selling some more. You know, we got two freezers full. Now we got one, and I'm putting that one scrape. That's the raccoons I'm scraping. You know, but I would always go and lay them out, the raccoons, you know, just dry them. Have everything's in, when you put it in the freezer, just assume that it's all going to be dried. Because if you put it in there wet, you ain't never getting the shit out of there. So if you're going to hold them from, like, you know, this year till just next year, you know, you can just lay them out and, you know, make sure that, you know, nothing's showing for it to freezer burn. Just, you know, the fur is protecting the everything else. But the other way, we've got had some that was 2 years old and they were put in like a Walmart bag, just one raccoon in there and tied up. And then seal it right off and make sure there's no holes in the bag. And then just, you know, put them in there in the freezer like that. And we had, you know, pretty good luck. We had a couple that so far that had freezer burn on a little bit on the tail. But I fleshed them all out. And they, when you get them on the board, you can't, I mean, they look fine. So, mm-hmm. You know, so. You know, but the thing is you're getting to the point now, like beaver, you know, there's a good market on beaver, no matter where in the United States you are. You know, it's like, or the raccoons, that's more area friendly raccoons. Like, you know, they want the big, heavier raccoons. They're buying Iowa. You know, I even heard of them buying some East Tennessee raccoons. Jeff Jeter said they bought them from him by... I think he said he got like $2 or $3, you know, in the grease. You know, so, you know, there's options for selling stuff. You know, but, you know, if you're in Iowa, you're going to get a lot more money than what you're going to get in Southern Alabama, you know. But in Iowa, there isn't always a place to sell the carcass, where in Southern Alabama, you might be able to come up with a market. So, but there definitely is, you know, markets. I seen one sale where the male mink averaged $15. I mean, how long has it been since we've seen that? You know, the females half, you know, about $8.50. So I'm, you know, more optimistic, you know, the coyote market. You know, if you're in North Dakota, South Dakota, there's a really, you know, still sellable. I mean, are they what they were? No, but they're still sellable. And, you know, so, I mean, there's markets for stuff out there.
So you mentioned the fur, if you don't have it put up, but you could store fur put up, right?
You can. It's just, it's harder.
You know, you're at risk of bugs starting to eat it. The summer's coming. So if you do have fur up that you have put up that you haven't sold yet, make sure you take good care of that. by, you could dust it with 7 if you don't have, you know, we put ours in the freezer because we had an empty freezer last year. So that was nice. We had a, Jeff had put up the fur and it was already put up. So we just put it in the freezer for safekeeping.
Yep.
So that's an option.
Yeah. The other thing is I've never tried this, but I trust some of the people that have told me this. You know, they don't use the 7 because that's an insecticide, you know, and it is poisonous. I got some on my lips last year and it turned them numb. Remember that? I don't think I told you about that. I figured you'd be laughing.
Rolling my eyes.
Anyways, that 7, it works good. That's what Ben down to Sleepy Creek told us we should use. And he said he's never had a problem ever. And he doesn't even put it on the fur. He just sprinkles it around inside the totes he puts it in. You know, where I put it right on the fur and scrubbed it in. And but some of the people I do trust, and I'm going to try it on some this year, is Permethrin. You know, they spray that Permethrin around. Sarah's rolling her eyes again because she knows I'm big on the Permethrin. they go through cans of it. I hate ticks, so. And she said it doesn't do anything. But we all know that it does. So, but, you know, you can try that and, you know, and see. But the 7 definitely works. Nothing, not even the flies land on it. If you could put it, if you put the 7 on there, not even the flies will land on your fur on the freezer. They're scared to death of it. Word was out.
Mm-hmm.
But
or if you're tanning your fur, you know, now is a good time to get it to the tannery.
Yep.
Well, you know, if you're sending it green, you're getting into warmer temperatures, so you know. You have to go to, like, I know Ben has a whole shipping guideline on his website. So, you know, it's just easier to send it if you have a chance where it's cooler weather versus summer. So, you know, decide what you're doing with the fur. I know we always try to make a plan for what's in the freezer and where is it going and why is it there and what are we going to do. So, I know we're getting a batch ready for Ben, so I'm pretty excited.
Yep.
Got some North Dakota rats were, Jeff skinned them all for me in the round. So, they're for sure going to Ben.
Got three red fox we're going to send to Ben.
Yep. Oh, and we have a bobcat at a taxidermist.
Yep.
So that'll be really awesome. Shout out to Mike for, it's kind of, he reached out when we were in Texas on the day we were pulling traps. Yep.
We all got shit-ass lucky on this whole deal. Yeah,
and he sent a message, and he said, is that cat for sale? I'd like it for taxidermy. I said, no, that cat's been skinned a long time ago. And he says, well, I'd buy a cat if you had another one. I said, well, we're pulling traps the next 2 days. Next day, we caught a cat in a trap, so it wouldn't work for his taxidermy. He needed it for the world taxidermy
world
show.
World championship.
Yep. So, that didn't work. And then the last day we caught 4 cats and one was absolutely gorgeous. And I said, this one's mine. And, so that was mine. I had 3 others that he could choose from. Well, he really liked the one I liked.
And anybody would.
So
it had the rosettas up on the back, down the sides, mm-hmm. You know, nice spots on the belly, yeah. A white, you know, a nice clear white belly. I mean, it was just like a
picture. And it was a special cat because it was on Albert's line and we helped Albert pull the traps that day. And he was kind of, if we had a, you know, we had a badger in one. He didn't want to deal with the badger, so he drove on. And so he kind of drove on the things that he didn't want to deal with. Well, he passed on this cat. And we're like, you know, me and Jeff are like, I can't believe he passed on this cat. And I'm thinking, that was really nice of Albert. And I got to thinking, I said, he didn't know there was a cat there.
It was sitting behind a grass ledge.
Yeah. And so it was just kind of special because it was caught on Albert's line and he was there.
And all three of us were involved in it.
Yeah. So anyway, we worked out a deal with Ben. He's going to use the cat for the world show, and then he is going, the show is the 1st of August in Iowa, so I hope that we get to make it. We should be able to make it to that world show. And then he's going to bring it to the Michigan show, and we'll have it on display.
Because that'll be what? That'll be between Minnesota convention and Michigan convention.
That's correct, yep. So, yeah, so we have a cat there, and we still have a gray fox that we've got to...
I figure, you know, you see, if he's doing it for the world championship, this thing ought to be awesome. And then he's going to bring it, if you're going to the Michigan convention in Everett, Mike is going to bring it by there, because this thing will be all done.
That's why I said it'll be on display at our booth.
Yeah, at the Michigan convention.
Yep.
No. I must not have been paying attention.
Yep. And he's done a lot of work for Michigan. Well, he lives in Michigan, so he's done a lot of work up here for...
Yep. We looked at the stuff on his website and stuff, and it all looks really nice.
And he does it full time. He says he's really busy, so good for him.
Yep. That's awesome when you can do something you want to do.
Yep.
So that's... I was thinking about that when you were talking about Albert driving by the cat. But he made sure when we had that big Russian boar, he had that big Russian boar caught. He made sure he stopped and shot that one.
No, that was scary. That was huge.
It was them, like the Arkansas ones are scary and they're big, but they're about look like about the same size, just fatter looking than the Texas ones. But the Texas ones are like black and got the razorback hair running down the back. They look like devil pigs is what they look like. But the really crazy ones are the javelinas down there. The javelinas, because they'll come out and charge you and like grind in their teeth.
Mm-hmm. Chomp chomp.
Yeah, chomp chomp at you. Yeah, they're... But I guess all they do is eat prickly pear. So, I mean, if you're going to eat them prickly pears, you got to be pretty damn tough.
Mm-hmm.
I know if I was over there gnawing one, I'd be a lot tougher than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, you know, that's the thing is if you got fur, you know, now's the time to do something with it before the bugs get in it. If the bugs get in it, they'll start eating the hair off, you know, follicles, and then, you know, you'll pick it up and it'll... you know, there won't be no hair on part of it or all of it.
Right. And the other thing is summer's coming and your freezers could go out. You know, so that's just... It's just an added worry. That was one of the things down in Iowa. We wanted to get the freezer cleaned out so nobody has to worry about checking the freezer every few days and making sure that it's still going.
And the thing is, if you still got some fur and you want to move it, you know, I mean, there's still some stops, you know, where... You know, I throw stuff out there as far as, you know, buyers or, you know, here and there, like I shot a video of Grunewald. You know, I don't like, say, sell to this person, sell to that person. I don't, you know, if you hate the person or like them, I don't care. It doesn't, you know, I just, you know, looking out for trappers on selling, you know, be able to sell something when I sell. You know, I don't care who you sell it to. But, you know, it's like, you know, if you look on Grunewald's website, if you had some stuff you want to get rid of, like, he'll be at F&T May 10th, and then, like, Trevor Barnes will be there the 11th. So, you know, then you don't have to have that stuff run through the freezer. So, you know, and if you got skunks, that's the moneymaker now, you know.
Well, that's the other thing you mentioned, skunks. If you have glands in your freezer or essence... Get them to a lure maker. You know, we're still getting glands in the mail right now.
Yep.
If you're shipping them, though, oh my, they need to be packaged well and double wrapped and triple wrapped and sent very quickly.
Because we got a letter from the United States Postal Service basically threatened. I kind of took it as a threat. As much as threatening.
I think it was just a warning, but, you know, we are the ones receiving, not shipping.
Yeah, but they stuff. They basically, the letter said that, you know, no more of the... Because what they'll do is they'll call me, and then I don't even know sometimes the stuff's coming in. You know, most time I do, but somebody will send something. Anyways, they'll call me, like I was in North Dakota, and they said, we have a package here that's got blood running out of it. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm in North Dakota. Basically, what do you want me to do? Well, we're not delivering it. It'll just sit out and back until you get back. So that, you know, and Sarah went in and picked it up.
In the car.
In the car.
The neighbor's like, what did you do with it? I said, it went in the back seat with everything else.
So, but yeah, you just want to make sure that, you know, if the stuff's frozen, it's not going to make it here frozen, especially this time of year, you know, so you want to make sure you know, really put it in some, like, a, you know, bags, thicker bags that aren't going to leak, you know, something. But, you know, it's like with the glands and stuff, you know, it's like doing any of this stuff. You know, we're doing it because we love to do it. You know, not doing it to try and make $1 million. But, you know, if you pick up a few extra bucks, you know, like with coyote glands or, you know, it's like, you know, like beaver sack oil, you know, I mean, if you have some beaver sack oil, you know, we might be interested in it, you know. So, you know, the thing is, you have the carcasses anyway, so, you know, if you can make a few extra dollars off doing it, you know, and like, you know, we have people ship stuff in, we pay the shipping on it, you know. I mean, if you have 1 ounce of skunk essence, you know, I'll usually tell people, you know, we don't pay the shipping on that. You know, usually it's got to be 3 or 4 ounces at least, you know, before we pay the shipping. But there's definitely money to be made, you know, in the glands, the skulls.
You know, and if you don't want to ship it, you know, line it up to bring it to a convention. A lot of guys bring it to conventions.
Yeah, I get more shit over buying stuff at conventions.
That's because you don't tell me that they're coming and we have no extra cooler. And then we have really rotting glands.
Yeah,
but anyway.
It's not a good idea to have your food cooler with coyote glands.
No.
They were bad.
That was nasty.
Yep. And she said
in your Yeti cooler.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, that was definitely not a smart move. But I was somewhat better after that.
Yeah, because you couldn't put anything in my cooler.
Yeah. I knew better than that.
You were lucky if you got to put a Coke in there.
Yeah, that's true. So,
what else we've been up to?
So the thing is like I say, you know, there's definitely money and all that stuff too. You know, and then you're using more of the animal. You know,
I've seen a big increase in people ask. Maybe it's not, but. People asking for skulls and stuff.
There definitely is an increase in that.
We've got some skulls, so if anybody needs some skulls, that's one thing on our list to get out of there.
Yeah.
But that's cool to see.
Yeah, we got. I don't know which freezer they're in, but we got some bobcat skulls and a bunch of muskrat skulls. But, no, there's definitely an increase in all that stuff. You know,
I wonder what people are doing with them. What do you think?
I probably don't want to know.
Okay.
More with, the coon baculums or whatever, the coon peckers. You know, like some of them guys were paying 50 cents and a dollar for them. All you got to do is just, you know, cut them off, and which makes you cringe, but, throw them in a Ziploc bag and freeze them, you know, and I mean, it'll give you 50 cents or a dollar. And, you know, the guy I was talking to, they pay the shipping, you know. What I didn't know is I thought they were all the same price. They're one price with this guy if they're smaller, and then, you know, a different price if they're all big, you know, so.
Gotta size them up, huh?
I guess.
Them in the right bag.
Yes, apparently bigger is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never graded out coonpeckers before. Or as on Dakota Line's website, they call them something else. Coon Richards. Mm-hmm. but it gives you a few different options. You know, if you're on any social media, you can find somebody by the skulls. And I don't know about this late in the year. I don't know if they still use them. But one other point on, you know, at the end of season is, you know, did you have a good season? Did you have a bad season? You know, if you had a bad season, you know, what are you going to change for next year? You know, now's the time to be reflecting on that because, you know, you go through the summer, you know, and, you know, in the spring you go mushroom hunting, walleye fishing. Then you go into this, you go into that, you know, the trapping's on your mind. And by next fall, you know, some of the problems you've had, because as trappers, we seem to, when we reflect back, don't reflect on the bad stuff, just the fun stuff. And that's the way it should be. But, you know, if you reflect on it now while it's fresh in your mind, you know, you can make changes and, you know, and maybe they won't work either. But, you know, it definitely would be better, you know, to reflect on it now while it's fresh in your mind, what you want to change for next year. And it also gives you the time to, depending on what it is, you know, make arrangements to change it.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point, and I'm guilty of this myself, is I'll notice something, you know, that's not working or that I want to do better next year. But I am such a creature of habit that when next year rolls around, it's going to be the same thing. You know, I want to switch up some tools in my trapping bag and things like that. You know, now is the time to make a really good note. I'm telling this to myself as well because, you know, next year I don't want to fall into the same habit that I always fell into. And what's that thing? If you want different results, you've got to do something different. Otherwise, you're going to get the same thing. And so,
at the end of our season, while I was sitting here, Sarah was talking, I was thinking about that we have to decide whether we're going to build muskrat floats or... it's nice because, you know, it's like with the snares, all we'll be doing is calling Liz and Carl and saying, hey, Liz and Carl, we need, you know, 800 snares, just like the ones you made before, you know, from Razorback Snares. And, you know, it's too bad that they didn't have where you could get floats made cheaply like we want, exactly like we wanted.
I bet Chris would hook us up.
Maybe. Maybe. But,
I mean, you bring up a good point. I mean, if you're thinking about doing something like that, like, you know, North Dakota rat trapping, the amount of gear you need is a lot. I mean, it's not something, when we decided to go muskrat trapping, we were already too late. There would have been, if we would have went by ourselves, there would have been nothing we could have done. We couldn't have made that many floats. We couldn't have got that many traps. I think Chris took 60 dozen traps and he modified all of them. You have to really plan that out in the freezers and.
Yeah, because like that. We would have had basically no floats. No. We'd have caught rats because we'd have used like Haggerty's, you know, baited system.
Right.
But we'd have been setting that, catching, you know, we catch one instead of four. Yeah, we'd have been setting toilets.
I mean, our traps wouldn't have been have the extra chain on them.
No.
And even in Texas, you know, that was kind of a more of a last minute kind of deal there too, because we had to wait for ranch approval and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But to have that many snares, I mean, if you didn't have somebody like Carl and Liz that could just build that.
Yeah, because
quickly. We didn't give them much notice, and they had it all together. But
because I got no interest in building snares.
No, I don't either.
And I certainly don't have the interest in building 800 snares.
No, no way.
I'm lucky to be able to get done our cable extensions.
I think we still bought a bunch from F&T.
I used to buy them from Jeff Jeter. He'd make them up, but he didn't come to the shows last year, so.
Traps. What are you doing with our traps? It's end of season. They're in a pile. That can't be the permanent solution here.
Well, when we got back from Texas, I lined them up. And then we went to Iowa beaver trapping, and now them ones are lined up. And then the muskrat traps we hauled out there, we took a bunch of 5-inch RBGs and stuff like that. All of them are lined up.
What are you going to do?
I think this year we're going to...
Are we storing them and then doing them in the fall?
No, we're going to be right out there working on them. We're going to probably dip the conibears and stuff in the paint or the snare one of the two, and then probably dye and wax everything that's not a dogless trap.
All right, I like the sounds of that.
No, we're going to have to dig out all them 1.5s in there and start getting them around for next year.
They need getting around.
Yeah. So, no. It's like a full-time job. Maybe that's because it is my full-time job. But,
well, I've been working on things for conventions. I've been working on some cups and some fur things and some shirts and, oh my, all the things. And my sister's coming next week, and so we'll be working on some of that.
And Dirty Dave.
Yeah, my stepdad's coming to help with.
I'm looking forward to that because Dave's always entertaining.
Yes, and our sad news in the lure shop is the young guy that we had working for us, very part-time, Anthony. He was always just, you like to tease him, but it was always my favorite part of the day when Anthony came. And
I love teasing him.
Yeah.
It was fun because he'd come here in the wintertime, and he had these shoes on that looked like Peter Pan shoes, and that's why I tell him, I say, dude, you don't have a pair of boots? Them look like Peter Pan shoes. And he looked like Peter Pan because he's tall and real tall and, you know, kind of real thin and dangly. But, yeah, we're going to miss Anthony working for
him. So he got a real job.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kind of feels lonely around here a little bit the past week.
Yep. He's a good guy. He's the first person to ever work for me that I didn't hate when it was all said and done.
Yeah. And he never complained.
He never complained about nothing.
And he did all the things. He did everything.
Even if you had snacks, he was a big snacker.
Oh my gosh, he ate. Yeah. That one time you bought 20 boxes of Little Debbie's as a joke. And he ate every bit of them. Every bit.
Yep. Well, so I guess I'm back to carrying all the heavy stuff.
Well, Dave's coming next week, so like I'll be a little bit, and Jesse will be here next week. So
So we'll be getting, when they get here, we'll be getting all the stuff around for conventions. And yeah, Sarah's been in full production mode doing cups and all that stuff. And we got some other stuff we're coming out with this year.
Oh, yeah, especially for the kids. I'm so excited for the kids.
I'm excited about the kids to see how this works out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to love it.
Yeah.
But we don't want to say what it is.
Nope.
No, it'll be going on at our booths.
That's right.
So just know if you got kids, we're not going to say what it is, not even going to hint what it is. But make sure that you come by the booth. We're going to have something free for the kids there.
Yep.
So, I hope it works out. We get these things. There'll be ring pops there. But
No, this we usually always have some. We've had we've had fruit snacks, we've had ring pops. The bubbles were always a good hit.
Yeah, the bubbles were, and that was the thing is the kids always liked the bubbles even more than the candy.
Yes.
I was surprised about that because I definitely liked the candy more than the
bubble. Of course you did. You ate probably as much as the kids.
I would say you're probably right. That's why I was like saying we should give like Kit Kats away and Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah, well, chocolate melts.
Yeah, but there now if it's eaten, I'd be saving us. But yeah, the kids definitely like. I even blew the bubbles at the booth in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We had that fan set up, and I'd blow them. And then Kinsley, Sarah's niece, is going to be at. I'm not sure what conventions yet.
Hopefully several.
Hopefully several, but she's going to have a little booth set up and going to be doing some stuff.
Oh, yeah, she's so excited.
Yeah, she's going to be selling her lemonade like she does in at the Minnesota convention.
Yep.
She sets up a lemonade stand and...
Mm-hmm. She's done that for what?
2 years.
2 years, yeah.
Yep. And she loves...
Now she wants to do bracelets.
Yeah, now she's going to be making bracelets and selling lemonade. There was something else she was talking about selling there. I was like, you only have like half of one table.
Oh, we were going to sell dog treats.
Oh, yeah,
We made homemade dog treats, and me and Kinsley, we had fun with that. So maybe we'll make up a batch of those and bring those to the show.
She can sell those.
Yep.
So apparently if you got a kid or a dog, stop by the booth because we'll have something.
But don't pet my dog.
Yeah, don't pet Zoe. She's cute. But, yeah, she's not friendly.
She doesn't like people.
That's like people come up and say, is your dog bite? I'm saying, it's showing you every tooth in its head. Yeah, it bites. Don't pet it. But for some reason, when you tell somebody that it bites, they still don't want to pet it.
I keep her away. I mean, she's away, but she's got to get out sometime.
She's never bit anybody before.
No.
Haggerty, she's put her lips on. But
she just lets you know she doesn't like you.
Yeah. She's ferocious looking when she's got her teeth showing and stuff, but she's scared of cat.
She had a big day today. Well, we've been trapping rats. We've got some rats, and so she's been after the rats and the mice. And Well, anyway, I suppose I just about have my pillow done.
What are you doing with them pillows? Are you going to sell them, or are you...
Yeah, they're everything's for sale. This pillow that I have here is three muskrats that I sewed three muskrats together. And it has a really soft back. And I don't know, how big is it? 12 by... 9. Cute pillow. Muskrat fur is one of my favorites.
Yep.
Super soft.
That coon, beautiful. That coon one you did, I really like.
Oh, yeah. I've got the coon one, too.
So, anyways, I'm sure she'll have some pillows at the convention.
Yeah, just keep checking shetraps.com. I always have something new on there. We've got new hats on there. We have some beaver stuff on there that's on sale right now. Still, we have big game gut gloves that we added.
Uncle Freddy.
Yep. So, yeah. Well, does that wrap it up?
Well, one other thing is it's like if you have, properties that you trap. If the fur prices start coming back up, you're going to see more people out there trying to get your properties, and some of them they won't get, other ones, you'll lose. So the thing is, but if you go back and try to, tell them people thank you or send them a thank you gift, that really means a lot that you got that property, it goes a long way. Like the people down in Texas, we're going to get something and send to them. And, the lady up to North Dakota where we stayed, we're going to send her something. Probably some, like, Northern Michigan maple syrup or something like that. You know, so, you know, something more than just cookies from Walmart. So, if we were in person, Sarah would make them an apple pie. That's what she used to do for all her landowners down to Iowa. You know, she'd make them homemade apple pies. And she'd go get special apples and mix the apple. I mean, it was just like a whole production. But the people always appreciated it. And I know I did.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a good idea to go out and thank the landowners, you know, that they let you trap on their property. I know we're doing them a favor, too, but, you know, a lot of people don't look at it that way. So, you know, just nice to say thank you sometimes. People really do appreciate it.
That's right.
But I think all what conventions are we going to? So,
We will be at the FTA, PTA, Pennsylvania, the UP Trappers in Escanaba, the NTA in Sioux Falls, then Minnesota Convention, the Michigan Convention, Herkimer, which is the New York's NYSTA.
Yeah, on Labor Day weekend.
Wisconsin Convention, Indiana, and Illinois.
That seems like a lot.
Ten of them. Yep.
And F&T will be having their open house this year, and I'm sure we'll be there too.
Yep. Maybe Minktoberfest. Jefferson.
I would like to go to Minktoberfest. My thing is I just know after going to all the conventions, if I never went to a convention and then said, it'd be like, yeah, let's go to Minktoberfest. But to drive another 1,000 miles, I'm like, eh. Especially driving all the way to Sioux Falls. And so
Sioux Falls is only like 2.5 hours from our Iowa house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
No.
But it's like 17 from the Michigan house. So, and some of them we're doing demos at, some of them we're not doing demos at. Like at Fur Takers, we're not doing one. Sarah's not doing one in Pennsylvania.
At the Nationals, we're under Trapping Mafia. So if you don't see us listed, it's because we're under Trapping Mafia.
Yep. And in our area, there'll be, you know, me and Sarah, Haggerty, Nick Ernie.
Shooter Girl.
Predator Control Group. Mike with Hammer Down Drivers. I won't be there.
No.
So.
Just us.
So it'll just be us. But stop by anyway. But, yeah, it's always fun. And, you know, going by Jeff Haggerty's booth, always a lot of fun. I go over there and terrorize him and drink their coffee. And well, used to drink the coffee.
They got decaf now.
They got decaf now because my doctor has me on because of the AFib and all that. I only have one cup of coffee in the morning. So you go, if that's the circumstance, you go with a bigger cup. But that's about it. So anyways, we'll have another show up on Friday, God willing. So anyways, we appreciate everybody tuning in, and we hope you had a, you know, really good trapping season. And, you know, whatever you're going to be doing now, whether it's fishing or, you know, metal detecting or just sitting in your chair watching TV, you know, try and be safe doing it. And
all right.
We'll see you down the road.
See you next week.